If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 374 called Jackie Hudson. This episode is sponsored by Fertile. You guys know I'm always looking for real solutions and real hope when it comes to fertility, and that's why I'm so excited to share this. Fertile just hit a huge milestone. Over 500 fertile babies have been born. 500, you guys. Mind blown. But what I love most about this is it's not just numbers. These are real families, real stories, people who had been trying, sometimes for a really long time, and finally got their positive. Fertile is the first of its kind, totally sterile, at-home insemination kit designed to help you conceive in a more accessible, less clinical, and honestly, more empowering way. Whether you're just starting your journey, trying between treatments, or looking for something that gives you more control, this is an option worth knowing about. I also love that the Fertile team, led by Dr. Jen, who was diagnosed with infertility, is focused on education and support, not just the product. Because she has been through it too, and like us, knows this journey is about so much more than just timing and tests. So if you've been feeling stuck or just want to explore all of your options, check out Fertile at fertile.com. That's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com. The best part, Infertile AF listeners get $10 off with the code InfertileAF. Go to fertile.com today and use code InfertileAF for $10 off. Because 500 babies means something is working. Thanks, Fertile. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. Hey friends, listen up. For our IVF families, IUI families, donor-conceived families, surrogacy families, solo parents, LGBTQ plus families, all of us really, I created the work of art books to help our kids understand just how wanted they are. Whether you've created your family through ART, or you're still in the wait, or you know someone who is, check out the Work of Art books on my website at infertileafgroup.com. Again, it's the Work of Art books at infertileafgroup.com. All right, everybody. Today's guest is Jackie Hudson, my friend and one of my favorite female founders, and her story really captures the emotional roller coaster of trying to build a family, the hope, the heartbreak, and the resilience it takes to keep going. Jackie opens up about navigating uterine challenges, IUIs, experiencing multiple miscarriages, and the toll infertility can take on your relationship and your sense of self. Now the mama of two healthy boys, Jackie created something really meaningful, Piper and Mint, a luxury mint-infused sleepwear brand to combat night sweats and odor, helping you sleep drier and wake up feeling fresh, and it is perfect for the fertility community. Jackie knows just how important comfort and care are during some of life's hardest moments. And without further ado, this is Jackie's infertility story.
Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Really good. It's good to see you.
So good to see you too. I'm so happy I got to meet you in person. And now we are going to delve into your fertility journey, your family building journey, all that stuff, and talk about what you've got going on now, which is so cool too. So we'll get to all that. But I always like to start by asking, have you always wanted to have kids?
Oh, yes. It's something that I've always wanted. I remember sitting around the Thanksgiving table growing up, and it was always a running joke of, how many kids would Jackie have? Because my sister has never wanted children. And to this day, she still has no children. She's got a dog, but no children, right? So it was always this thing of like, oh, how many are Jackie going to have? How many is Jackie going to have, right? And so I was a nanny, like growing up, I started babysitting at fourth grade. I got certified. I just always loved children. And that kind of, you know, followed me all the way through until my own journey with trying to have my own.
Yes. I feel like you're the cool babysitter. Like you would be so fun.
I was the fun one for sure. I'll just tell you a quick story though. My first time, I usually babysat for girls, and I had my first summer babysitting for three boys. And it was literally day one. And they ended up telling me that someone had broke their arm. I run in the backyard. And the next thing I know, I was ambushed by water balloons.
Oh my God. Really?
Soaking wet. So the parents, let me tell you, they came back and they were like, how much can we pay you? Please come back tomorrow. And I was like, okay, this is just boys. And now guess what? I'm a mom of two boys. So I think it was training for what right. was to come.
Absolutely. So nobody had broken their arm. They were just
pranking. It was all a farce. It was all a prank.
Yeah.
Big prank.
Not big cool, prank. Kids. Not cool. But actually so funny too, right?
So funny.
They probably thought it was hilarious.
And I came back and I'm still friends with the family. And, you know, it's been fun to watch them grow. But it was an interesting summer. That's for sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So tell me about, what was your like sex education like growing up? And did you know anything about fertility or like once you started to try, like what it really was going to be like?
No, I had absolutely none. And it's interesting. When I was in high school, I had really, really bad menstrual cramps. Now, my mom had them really bad. My sister had them really bad, but I'd be out for a day. Whenever I got my period, I'd be sick on the floor. So they always thought, well, maybe you have endometriosis. So finally, we go through like late high school years down that journey, come to find out I have a bicornate uterus. So I have a heart-shaped uterus. And it's ironic because I was born on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And so my mom's like, well, see, that's just the love continuing. But what I'll never forget, the doctor told me, like, you might have issues not getting pregnant, but going to term because you have less space in your uterus for the baby to grow. And I remember as like an 18-year-old, that was devastating. Like I remember crying in my library because it was not the full context at all. And by the way, my bicornate uterus had nothing to do with my fertility journey.
Interesting.
I had two babies full term, no issues. So I don't even know, to be honest, if that was really what they saw. Turns out I had a septum in my uterus. I had like a mass of tissue in my uterus, which came out further along in my fertility journey. So the information they were giving me, I don't even think was accurate, to be honest, but there was a lack of everything else. And the doctor just dropped it on the phone to me, like by myself on the phone call as an 18-year-old.
Oh my God, that is heavy and dark and scary.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It was very heavy. But you know what? At that age too, I was like, well, I'll deal with this later, right? Because...
Right. You're like, I don't want to get pregnant right now. Anyway.
Yeah, right. This is exactly. The goal right now. So, you know, fast forward though, I married my husband and we're maybe 5 years married and we're like, okay, like it feels good. We got married kind of on the younger side. So, okay, this feels like it's good time to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget. We took a trip. We went to Aruba and it was going to be our like baby making trip, right? Like I had all these grand plans, like I'm going to get pregnant in Aruba and it's going to be great. And I mean, this is how ridiculous my brain was. On the way home from the trip, I did not eat a turkey sandwich because I read that, oh, well, turkey is bad. And then I did not go in hot tubs while I was there. I mean, all these I look back at it now and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jackie, like cut yourself some slack.
No, I get it though. Cause you really wanted this, right?
I really wanted it. And so, you know, then the next month comes post vacation and no baby. And so then we kept trying and no baby, no baby, you know, we're hitting it about a year. And I thought, okay, maybe I need to go talk to somebody. So I talked to my OBGYN who puts me on Clomid and then no baby, no baby, no baby, months and months and months. And so finally she referred me to a fertility doctor.
Okay.
And it was interesting. Those conversations were, I told him, I'm like, well, it could be my bicornate uterus. I was told I have a heart-shaped uterus. And he was like, well, that shouldn't stop you from getting pregnant, but that's more of a longer down the road issue that can happen. And so after enough of my journey and medications, he's like, let's just get you an MRI and make sure we really see what's going on in there. Cause again, when I said bicornate, he was like, sometimes it's the most highly misdiagnosed thing actually.
Wow.
Where it might actually be something more that's going to impede you from even getting pregnant. So I had the MRI and he's like, hey, you have a big, like massive tissue basically in your uterus that has to get removed. Like the egg, like the follicle has nowhere to attach. It's impeding it. This is why you're not getting pregnant. And I was like, oh, well, at least I knew. Right. So then I go and get a laparoscopic surgery to get it removed. I'm like, okay, here we go. Now
we go.
I'm going to get pregnant. Right. And then 3 months, 5 months, 6 months later, still no baby.
Yeah. Okay. Before you go on, can we break it down? Like what were you going through mentally? Because obviously, you know, infertility hits on so many different levels, physical, mental, relationship wise, all that. So what was it like, you know, not being able to get pregnant all those months?
You know what? It's kind of crazy because I was also really in a crazy career at the same time. Right. So I remember the feelings of being, you know, every month being devastated for sure. Kind of wondering like, why me? Why me? Like I've done everything right. I've gotten this or I, you know, they keep telling you there's nothing wrong with me. However, I will say that I'm such like, I have an eyes on the prize, hard, like go, 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 go. I probably didn't allow myself, to be honest, to feel as many feels as what was really going on inside my body because I was just like, no, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. There has to be an answer. Right. I think when all the emotions came flooding and broke down was with my first miscarriage, to be honest. So I think, was it challenging? 100%. They had never talked about IVF to me at this point yet. So it was still like, no, we want to keep trying other things. We just think this might be the issue. So, you know, they were kind of doing their exploration. I was still like young enough in my marriage and in my life that I thought, okay, like I can give this some time. It just must not be the right time right now. Again, the fact that I wasn't getting pregnant was very frustrating, hands down, but they kept uncovering little things and we just kept going along on the journey. So I think, again, heartbreaking, yes, but did I let it really get to me at that point? Not so much, because I think I was also just really busy. Like I was working crazy hours and building my career. And I'm like, okay, well, this is just going to happen when it's going to happen. I have the best doctor. I'm going to figure it out. So that was a little bit more of my mentality going through it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Versus like more of like a woe is me. Like I really didn't let that hit me probably as much as I should have, to be honest, and like really wasn't realizing how much it was affecting me. I was kind of just putting up this wall and barrier like, nope, I'm a strong woman. I'm going to figure this out.
Heads down, do the work. Like, we'll figure it out. Like, I feel like did you always kind of feel confident that you were going to figure something out? Like having had success in other areas of your life, right?
Yeah. I think I just was like, you know, this must just be my plan, God's plan, like my journey. I'm going to have, this might be my story to tell. I wasn't, again, far enough in the journey that I felt like I'm hopeless, right? I never seemed to hit that hopeless part, but also I eventually did get pregnant, right? And I didn't have to go to IVF. Actually, an IUI worked for me.
Okay. So before we get into that, let's break it down a little bit more like chronologically. So it wasn't happening. And then you went to a reproductive endocrinologist?
Yes. I went to a reproductive medicine doctor who said, hey, let's get an MRI. I get the MRI. He's like, you have some tissue in your uterus. We need to remove it. Get it removed. Gets me on another round of Clomid. But then 6 months later, still no baby.
Okay.
And so that's when he said, hey, let's try an IUI. Let's, before we go to IVF, like, let's just see. And it's so funny. In my head, I always felt like the journey was the issue. And no one ever told me that. It was just within my own body. I was like, I always in my head was like, it's the journey. I think
the journey, like, between like the egg and the sperm.
Yes. Like, okay. I think there's something with this journey. And I never really even said it out loud, to be honest, but it's something I do think about. Because IUIs, right, the success rate is not that high with them, right? A lot of women, and after you do one, it doesn't work, then the next one's even a lower success rate. Then by the third or fourth, it's like even lower. Again, I don't have the stats on it. I just remember being told that, right? When they like, don't get your hopes up, but like, if this works, great.
Right. I mean, I've talked to plenty of people that have gotten pregnant through IUIs.
Yes.
I had a few that were not successful, but there, you know, it does happen. It does, you know, it does work for some people. It just depends on what's going on within your own body.
And I'll tell you something that I just made me think about. I kind of put out of my brain and I'm remembering now. I had gone to the gym with a girlfriend one morning to work out, and it was my ovulation day. This was actually before the IUI. And so we were supposed to, husband and I were supposed to have sex that morning. Like the doctor, what they tell you to the minute, like 7:45 a.m. like, do it. Yeah, and I remember it.
That's sexy.
Yes, so sexy, right? And I remember waking up and be like, okay, let's go. And he's like, I can't. Like, he physically, emotionally couldn't, right? And I remember feeling, you know, obviously disappointed, but I'm like, okay, I'm not going to put this like pressure all. I mean, he's got pressure too, right? Going through this. I'm like, that's fine. I'm just going to go to work out in the gym. And I literally left with my girlfriend. We carpooled to the gym together. And it was like a good 20 minutes away. And he texts me and he's like, come back. I'm sorry. Like, I think I can do this. I think
you can do it. Oh my God.
And my girlfriend got in the car and she knew the journey I was going on. She got in the car with me, drove me all the way back home that morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't when we got pregnant, unfortunately, but it's just, I kind of forgot the toll it took on my marriage, for sure.
Totally. Totally. I remember those days too. And just being like, there's so much pressure. And I remember my husband, I'd be like, I'm ovulating. And he would be like sweating and like, you're not into it. And there's no intimacy. And it's just like sex on demand. And it's, it is rough.
It was hard. So I kind of forgot about that, but that was like a funny story. But yeah, we did an IUI, didn't take the second one. It took.
Okay.
And we thankfully, you know, once you go through that journey, you're very high touch, right? They are getting you ultrasound after ultrasound, like every few weeks, right? They're keeping on top. And thankfully, you know, that led to the birth of my first son, Parker.
Okay. So tell me about when you realized that it had been successful.
Oh man. I mean, how many pregnancy tests did we all take, especially for those of us that are going through this journey?
Oh my God, boxes and boxes.
Oh my gosh. And so when it actually came positive, I was like, really?
And so I took like a second and I think a third test, and it was really exciting. You know, this was the first time I actually got a positive read.
Mm-hmm.
Positive read. So my head wasn't going to, okay, now is it going to stay? Like, I wasn't there yet. I was just like, I got a positive read. Right. And I remember just feeling so happy. And I know I definitely cried. I mean, I had all the emotions that you go through after, you know, what was probably like a 2.5-3 year journey from when we first started to try to conceive to when we actually got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you hadn't had a miscarriage yet, right?
Not yet. So my first child, like, you know, pregnancy went on with kind of tradition. I was very sick, very sick. I was on anti-nausea meds like the entire time, basically.
Did you tell people that you had done IUI?
Good question.
No judgment either way. I'm just curious.
No, I don't remember. My close friends knew I was on a journey, right? So for sure for my close friends, yes, but probably for my coworkers, they probably had no idea what I was going through, to be honest. I wasn't necessarily super open about the journey I was on aside from my really close friends.
Yeah.
So again, pregnancy, fine, healthy boy. And then we decided, hey, let's try for another child. And so 2 years later, you know, we get on the meds and do all the things and we go to get an IUI and then it takes again. And we're like, okay, this is just how it goes. Like, this is how we have children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time where I believe it was at my 8-week ultrasound then I realized that there was no heartbeat.
Oh, that is and the worst.
Yeah, that was, I'll tell you, that was traumatic, hands down. I mean, I always feel pretty blessed that I had my first pregnancy, though. So I knew I could do it. I have so many friends who've miscarried on their first after mm-hmm. that long journey. And like that breaks my heart even more because then you don't even know, like,
right.
took that long to get pregnant. And then can I actually carry it to term? Where like I had had a successful full term pregnancy. So
right.
it was devastating. It was hard, but I knew I could do it. So again, I had a little bit of that hope, but I'll tell you what was the most horrific of all of the things, of all the journey, this getting your tubes flushed and the laparoscopic surgery, like all the pain and suffering and all of that that you go through. The worst experience was that my body did not reject the pregnancy. My body felt like it was pregnant. I was nauseous. My belly was still growing. And so I had to get a DNC.
Yeah.
And
that's so,
that hard. Was by far the most just jarring for me to know that someone's like, I remember my doctor wheeling me in and I'm thinking like, no, like you're not going to go take my baby. Right. And I remember having, I mean, a full panic attack, and they gave me some medicine to calm me down. And like, that was by far the most traumatic thing that I had been through at that time. So that took some feels. And, you know, again, you think about it, this was 12 years ago. There wasn't Instagram and all these support groups and like all
totally
you like that exist, right? Like I was in a vacuum and my husband had no idea what the hell to do with me. You know,
exactly.
My friends sent me flowers. My close friends that knew sent me flowers. I remember with my first miscarriage, cause I had another, I remember someone at work being like, oh, like they actually said congratulations because I literally looked that pregnant because once the heartbeat at eight week was done, they gave me a couple weeks to just see if my body would pass it. And it's like, nope, still taking my nausea meds, still showing more and more. So my body
so hard
fully thought I was still pregnant.
It's such a mind fuck. And like
such a mind fuck.
Also, like we talk about this in our rally support groups too, like when you're waiting to be unpregnant, you know, like when it, you know, it's not viable, but like you're waiting for your body to do what it's supposed to do. That is such a tough place to be physically and mentally.
Yeah. And my body didn't do it either. I had to go and have it done. So not only do you have to go through that, then you get a bill for it.
Right.
Right. And it's like, wait a minute. Like it's just all these things coming in. Thankfully, I got pregnant with my second son, Bennett, another IUI. It took and carried a term. So like,
okay,
you know, I had two healthy babies.
Yes.
And I'll never forget. He was born in February and it was Halloween night after his birth.
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden I'm like feeling nauseous.
Oh my God.
My boobs are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no way did we get pregnant on our own. Cause we weren't using any protection because we never,
so like, it's not happening.
Why would you? And we said, well, if we have a third, you know, we'll, okay, we'll deal with it. But we never thought it was going to happen. And I remember we were in the middle of a major house renovation and I'm in the basement and everything's torn up and I'm standing there. It's Halloween night. We're going to have people over our house and I'm standing with a pregnancy test and I'm like, Ryan, I'm pregnant.
Oh my God.
And he was like, what? Wait, what? Like, you know, all the things like, wait a minute. Like
stunned. Like, oh.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
And excited. And yeah.
So we were like, okay, well, this is meant to be. We're meant to have three kids. Okay. And that's kind of in my head where I always thought like, oh, I'm going to have three kids. Like that was kind of my number. So I'm like, okay, this is meant to be. Maybe it'll be that girl, right? Because I had two boys at this time. Mm-hmm. And go to the first ultrasound. Everything's fine. Go to the second ultrasound. And to be honest, the second ultrasound, my husband was not with me. And another miscarriage.
Oh God. Devastating.
So I'm on my own without him in a small room. They're going to take you to the small room in the back. Right. And my doctor comes in and she says, you know, I'm sorry. And my body again did not want to let this go. Now I'm at a different job and had a separate boss tell me congratulations.
Oh God.
Miscarriage. Cause again, this is now technically my fourth pregnancy. Right. So really showing all these things. And I had to go in to get another fucking DNC and do that trauma
so rough
all over again.
Right.
And the next weekend, and here's what the kicker was, I couldn't wait. They thought like maybe one more week, your body might release it. But my sister was getting married and I had to get on a plane to go to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, we don't want you flying like this, so you have to get this done. So basically, I was forced into the DNC anyways because I had to be there for my sister's wedding.
Right.
And smile on and be like, everything's okay.
Yeah.
And knowing that deep down, I felt like that was my chance at that third child. Because like, I was so sick with both boys. To willingly go through it again, to be honest, was really going to be a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if it happens, it happens. And it did.
Yeah.
And then to feel that, like to have that be the outcome at the end of it. And I still, to this day, still fucks with my mind all the time.
Really? Like, in what way? Tell me how that feels
like,
for you.
Should I have tried again? Mm. Like, was this God saying, oh, you can, like, look, the universe is saying like, oh, you can do this, Jackie. Right. Right.
Do you like beat yourself up at all? Or is it just kind of more of like, it's
just always not there. Your
own? Yeah.
It's just there, like as a little like conscious in the back of my head. I don't beat myself up for it. You know, I definitely think of like, well, what would life be like? And I love my two boys. We have a very crazy busy life. So to have three, it'd be like, it would have been a lot. We would have obviously figured it out. So I think it all worked out how it was supposed to. Okay. But it does, I for a long time, but probably the first 2 years after it happened was when I had a lot of those like, well, do we try? Do we do that? You know, do we do this? Do we do that? And again, at that point, my career was like really hitting like a precipice where I was like, you know what? No, I'm just going to lean into work and lean into my two healthy boys and like take this as it just was a journey maybe to show me that my body was capable, but
yeah, you
know, made all these different excuses in my head to try to like rationalize why.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd mentioned before not having support groups, not having Instagram, same thing as me because my IVF baby is 10.
Okay.
And my daughter is 16. Whoa. So, you know, I had secondary infertility. And, you know, the landscape has obviously changed so much and there's so many resources. And that's the whole reason I started this podcast and Fertility Rally and have written the Work of Art children's books. It's all the stuff I wish I had when I was in the thick of it or, you know, just after. So where were you turning for support? Like, did you find anything? I mean, I know close friends are wonderful, but unless they're going through exactly what you're going through, it's hard to relate, right?
Yeah, no, to be honest, I didn't have anything. And my friends weren't in their pregnancy years yet. I was the first one to get pregnant and go through a lot of this. So yeah, it was really lonely, to be honest. It was really lonely. Again, my husband couldn't understand it. My mom, you know, had two healthy daughters. And so she was there, but I didn't feel like confiding in her in regards to how all these things I was feeling. And to be honest, I pushed the feelings down a lot because I think I didn't have anyone to go to. And I'm like, well, this is what you do. I'm going to sit in bed and grieve for a day. And then I'm going to get up and go to work tomorrow and like move forward. And that's literally what I did, which in hindsight, it's so interesting. I have an IUD now. So, cause my cramps, unfortunately, post kids, my mom's cramps went away after she had children. Mine did not. So I just said, I don't need or want my period anymore. It is not good for me. My hormone levels were like, woo, all up and down. So I've had great success with that.
Did you have endo or no?
No, I never did.
You don't. Okay.
Nope. Did not. But what was interesting was the last time I had to go and get it swapped out, it was like PTSD. They had to use a vaginal ultrasound to find it. I'm in the stirrups. They had to pull it. And then they had a really hard time because it had lodged. Just like it was a whole thing. And I remember like, and I love my OBGYN and she was wonderful with the whole thing. But let me tell you, going and having a vaginal ultrasound when I had not had one in 9 years, call it. It was traumatic. Like it was really traumatic. I like went back and was like flashbacks of every month coming in and them checking my follicles and being like, oh, is it enough? Like, oh, this month should be a good one. Right. And so it was so interesting because again, those feelings I had pushed away and pushed down for so much. Like I remember leaving and I just like cried in my car.
Yeah.
Because I just like felt all of this that I had been like repressing for so long. And I was like, wow, this was really fucked up what I went through.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned before thinking for so long, like, should we try again? Should we not? There's like that kind of a mind fuck. But also I just want to touch on and get your thoughts on like grief, you know, the grief of not only losing a baby, but the grief of your life not going the way you thought it was going to go. Mm-hmm. That's like a legit grief that I feel like is worth talking about as much as we can, because, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I always say like a loss is a loss. You know, there's so many hard points of fertility journeys that people can come across. And I never want to compare. This was harder than that. You know, I think everybody's pain is so valid, but I do think one of the harder parts of grief is just, you know, like I said, your life not going the way that you thought it was. And it really messes with your head. And a lot of times it's totally out of your control. So what did that look like for you? And how did you navigate that and your husband too?
Yeah. I mean, if you can't tell, I'm a pretty, I don't want to say I'm type A, but I'm a pretty aggressive type B. I mean, I like to be in control of
get
my
shit
choices,
done.
Right? I'm not a perfectionist, but I definitely am a driver and like to see results. And I know if I put in this effort, this is my result. This is what I'm going to get on the back end. So this was one where it was hard because I was doing all the right things and not getting the result.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's
time after time after time. And so, and then when I finally did, and then to lose the child, right? Lose the baby. I mean, that grief, it just hangs with you. Like it just does, right? I mean, I can be so thankful and blessed for my children that I have now, which I am, but there's always a place in my heart for those two that I lost and what could have been, what that would have looked like. Maybe that was my girl, right? Like all these things that go through your head when you're faced with these, you know, these outcomes that again, you feel like you had no control over. However, I can look back now, right, and say, okay, obviously something was wrong with the baby, right? Like we know this, like this is, there was something that wasn't right. And so that might've been the universe protecting me at the end of the day or protecting that child from coming into a world and not being able to live their fullest life. So I've come to terms with all of that.
Yeah.
But it definitely, the grief of the loss, and to be honest, really for me, it was the trauma of those two DNCs that really, I think, just hit extra hard for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to, again, you know, acknowledge like both things can be true, right? You can be so grateful for the two healthy boys you have.
Yep.
But you can also always be sad about what you lost too.
Yep.
You know, I think it's getting easier for people to like balance all these feelings. I feel like in our, just in society, like it's not black or white anymore. It's not like you're sad or you're not, or you're grateful or you're not. It's like you can be all the things, you know?
Yep. Very true.
And I know that that feeling as well. You know, I don't know why I'm getting emotional now. I'm like welling up because, you know, the trauma stays with you. What is the body holds the score, right? Like I still sometimes when I'm talking to people, they'll say something that I can really resonate with. And it just like, I get like a physical reaction. Like it's so hard to go through all of this and it never really 100% leaves you.
Yeah. And again, I think I was in such a warp speed of life at the time that I had a lot of repressed feelings and trauma about all of it that, to be honest, I'm probably still need a lot more processing. If I'm being honest, like why and getting, you know, my IUD caused me to go to the car and like cry uncontrollably for 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like there's obviously some still a lot of emotions that are residing within my body that I probably have not worked through still, right?
Yeah.
And might never. Like they're always going to, part of that's always going to reside in me, right? But I just feel so thankful that there is more support, that there's so much support out there, that there's so much help, that these women don't have to feel as alone as I did going through this. There's so much more science coming out, like so much more information.
Right.
That hope doesn't make the journey easier, but at least I'm hoping it feels less lonely.
Absolutely.
Right? Like the feelings are still going to be the feelings like it. But again, I really was on an island.
Same. So tell me, what would you say to people who are listening, who might be in the thick of it right now? What do you know now? Or what kind of advice could you give? Or, you know, just life tricks or things you've learned, you know, to help somebody feel less alone, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think community is the answer, right? Because I can't tell you, oh, just keep going. That baby's going to come. Like, we don't know, right? Like, you get your, put yourself with the best doctors you can have and try to have the best information you can have. But then some things are still out of our hands, right? But what we can be is in the hands of others that care about us, that have maybe gone through it before you, or, you know, because again, I had close friends and family, but no one had been exposed to this ever. No one had been on a fertility journey in all of my immediate close friends and family, right? So I think it's just different to be surrounded in a community of people that are going through similar things as you. So I would, you know, again, I don't have answers aside from like rely on each other, like be honest and vulnerable with each other, because something that you say might also change the trajectory of someone else's life, right? That's going through the same thing. And maybe you've been somewhere where no one hasn't, they haven't been yet. So your story could help also inspire them, like, okay, gosh, she was there and like, look at her now, she's still going forward, right? So I just think this community part, while you're going through, you know, this journey that can be really, really freaking long, right? And sad and all the emotions. Like, I just think leaning in on those people that have some shared experiences. So even if you just like sit on the phone and cry together, like that's okay too, you know, and be like, this really fucking sucks. Be like, yeah, it does. And like, that's okay also.
Absolutely.
Just, like sit in that.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about the fertility rally groups is just the number of women that have come through, you know, our Zoom rooms and the bonds that people form and just the real emotions there and like the empathy that's shown and the resources that are shared. Like, it's just, it's like fills up my cup. Like every time we have one of those groups, 'cause I'm like, people are really good and they want to help each other and they want to support each other. So it's great to be reminded of that.
Yeah.
All right, Jackie, tell me about Piper and Mint. What is that for people who don't know?
Yeah, so along this journey of children, something else I experienced postpartum was night sweats. Mm. And I, you know, think about it. I had like 3 years of getting prepped and ready for this baby, but I never read about night sweats. Uh-huh. So I remember after the birth of my first son, waking up drenched and thinking like, oh, maybe this is what they call mastitis, right? Because you get a fever and it really hurts. And I'm like, well, I'm not feeling tender in my breasts. And so I literally started looking it up and realized, oh, this is just something that hormonally, you know, can happen to us women postpartum and many other times as well, beyond what you can talk about. But I had a friend going through the same thing. She had just had given birth, we were chatting about like these nasty night sweats. And my background is actually corporate retail and product development. So I live here in Columbus, Ohio. I've worked for many of the major retailers that you know and love, Abercrombie, The Limited, Justice. So I know how to make product. I know how to bring products to life. That's my background. And so my friend literally approached me and said, Jackie, like, you know how to make product. We're both sweating at night. My doctor just told me to sleep on a towel. Like, there's got to be something better. And that literally, like, that was the planted seed in my brain to create a solution for this. And so, you know, fast forward 10 years and I've had my second son and I'm helping launch products to market every day for other customers and other people, all the while just thinking this idea, like it's burning a hole in my brain. And so I remember going to my friend who had the original idea and said, hey, do you want to do this together? Like, I think there's a market. I've looked, there's nothing out there helping postpartum women with night sweats. Like, what if we create, and again, her idea was like pajamas. Like, why can't we make pajamas that are sweat wicking and actually help women that are nursing friendly, right? All these different things. And so I told her, I said, hey, I'm ready to do this. Do you want in? And she's like, no, but I'll be cheering you on from the sideline. And so I basically took the ball and ran with it. And that is what launched Piper and Mint almost 2 years ago. So we created sweat wicking sleepwear for women, and it's definitely expanded. I launched in the postpartum market because that's what I knew. And so we had nursing friendly styles with like support bras, clip down. And what makes our fabric really unique is we use mint infused patented technology. So I spent over 2 years developing these pajamas because I knew they had to be safe for mom and baby, but they had to work. Not just another pair of bamboo cooling pajamas. These had to perform and actually make you get better sleep. And I'll never forget, I had a Facebook group, a lactating mom's Facebook group that I jumped in and I was like, hey, ladies, anyone sweating at night? And first of all, the reply was like, yes. Like,
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, if anyone's willing, I have some free pajamas. I'm working on inventing, you know, sweat-wicking pajamas for mamas. And so a couple of them gave me their addresses and I sent pajamas out. And so they were my wear testers. And as I'm going through iteration one, iteration two, they're giving me feedback, what's working. Right.
Tell me, where does the mint come into play? Like, what does that do exactly?
So mint is nature's antibacterial. Okay. So it literally kills odor naturally. So my pajamas test at over 99% effective rate for killing odor-causing bacteria. Mm-hmm. So what's great is when you have a night sweat or even just postpartum, you know, stank in general, which we all know is a thing, it literally kills the odor without having to add chemicals to it. Okay. So it's this like unique. And so I found a fabric mill that was doing all this innovative work because I had gone through my own iterations, but it wasn't totally hitting the mark. Found this fabric mill. They were doing really future forward things, very eco-friendly, sustainably sourced. I remember sending that one sample to my mama who had been through all my other versions, who was still having, this poor woman, horrible night sweats, 18 months postpartum still.
Okay. This is not your own mom. This is the mom you were working with.
Yep. Okay. A mama, one of my Facebook mamas.
Got it.
Jamie. And so she texted me the next day and says, Jackie, what is this magic fabric? She's like, you got it. And I remember being like, oh my God, we figured it out.
How many iterations had you had?
Gosh, at least three different fabric iterations, which fabric takes a while to develop. So it was, it's a journey to get there.
Can you tell me, how do these pajamas come into play for a fertility journey?
Yeah. So a lot of my women actually, especially with those that are going through IVF and hormone recovery, the hormones, right, of causing you having really hot, horrible night sweats or just running hot at night. Like, I've now realized that these pajamas aren't just for postpartum mamas. I also made them down to the details of the elastic. It's super soft and super stretchy. So I had a C-section. I wanted to make sure that you could wear my pajama pants post C-section and not feel a thing. And then without even realizing it, some of my customers now are telling me that their pajamas are all they can wear when they're going through their IVF fertility shots, because everything is, right, your skin is so sensitive, you're bruised everywhere. They're like, all I can wear are my Piper and Mint PJs. They're like the most comfortable cooling thing on my body when everything is hurting right now.
Right.
So we also, what I loved, what I knew when I started a business, I always wanted to have some give back. Like, I wanted there to be a deeper meaning behind the pajamas than just the fact that they are helping women rest and have better sleep, right? But it was very important to me that with this brand, we were also giving back. And so for me, that meant a portion of every pajama that we sell on Piper and Mint goes to Baby Quest, which is an amazing nonprofit organization.
Yes, I love Baby Quest.
Helps provide fertility grants for couples, women, right, that want to start. Because I believe I was lucky that at the time, my insurance benefits through my employer were dynamic, for especially for being 12 years ago. I had a one-on-one call with a nurse, and my company was run by like women executives. So that was something that they opted in to do, which is really a goosebumps. Like, it was a really cool program that they did so long ago. So it helped subsidize things. But I realized in other jobs, and those that, you know, can't provide or don't provide those types of fertility benefits, no one should be denied a family because they can't afford it. And I've seen my own colleagues who have gone through IVF, didn't have it work, and they said, we just can't afford it. And so they literally, their family journey stopped there.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the reason why you stop. If you choose to stop for personal, right, you're happy, great.
Right.
But it shouldn't be because financially you can't.
Yeah. I mean, IVF is a privilege, you know, there's so many people who don't have the luxury of getting to do that.
And so we're hoping to keep writing bigger and bigger checks back to them and eventually one day be able to say we fully funded a family. That's the goal, to have, you know, to be on their journey forward. So it's been a converging of all these things, right? Like actual things that you're experiencing postpartum, being able to give back before the journey starts. And now, to be honest, the brand has expanded. Like, now we're really in the perimenopause, menopause market, which as a 43-year-old, I have a whole nother layer of evening, you know, hot flashes happening.
Absolutely. we could have a whole separate call about that.
Yes. Yes. So it's really, I think, what's also great about this idea that my friend had brought, right, and that I've helped bring to life now, is I thought postpartum was it, right? So I went in with one vision and one thought. And the universe and the women came back and said, hey, there's more women sweating. You need to help all of us. And so just seeing the brand evolve to really be a full hormonal wellness pajama brand. That's
women.
And I even have some of my customers are high school girls, right? They're like, I just get really hot before my period, or I'm just a hot sleeper. I have a lot of people just say, I'm just a hot sleeper at night.
Yep.
And so these pajamas are cooling. You know, the mint also helps with the cool touch factor. If you imagine like chewing a gum, a mint piece of gum like that.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Yes.
Yep, you get that in the pajamas, in the fibers themselves, which is where the mint is kind of infused in the actual fiber. So it's down to the core of the yarn that's giving you that cool touch also.
So brilliant. And I do think, you know, the best brands and ideas, and let's be honest, Jackie, it's mostly from women, come from seeing a hole in, you know, the market or something you needed or wished that you had had. So I love it. And I remember when I met you, you were telling me about it and I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Jackie, my dear friend and such a badass all around. Make sure to check out Piper and Mint. And also, don't forget to check out the Work of Art children's books on my website at infertileafgroup.com. It's for all families, all modern families, built through ART, families in the wait. They make great gifts and great things for your own library as well. So check them out at infertileafgroup.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sending you tons of love.